Hey, podcast listeners, still standing on the sidelines when you could be getting paid to play? Well, all your favorite NBA and college basketball teams are in action, and there's no better time to make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI is one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. Bet on the NBA, college basketball, MLB, UFC, NHL, and much more. It's your all-access pass for everything. And not only are there super quick payouts and bonuses, but BetDSI's live feature allows me to watch my team before I even bet. They even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. So play big, win big, and get paid anytime. Plus, when you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code, you'll get an extra 25%. That's 125% bonus. So join the winning team by signing on at BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN101. You'll more than double your bet. So don't leave money on the table. Visit BetDSI.com and use code WIN101. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN101, BETDSI.com, code WIN101.
You will now hear an electronically generated noise.
ESPN 97.5. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
This is terrible. They've got a guy in a helmet, and you can't see. He's got the black face mask, so you can't see inside there. But he's got a James Harden shirt on. It's on Bleacher. It's on Bleacher Report, at Bleacher Report, and it's got if they ever let James Harden on a football field, and they've got him doing his Euro step and then faking like going up and faking like he got hit and holding his face and all of his step moves and back and forth. It's pretty funny. He's actually got some of James' moves down pretty well. They both go up for the ball. James fakes like he goes up and then draws the contact and flails his arms. This is terrible. We're not alone in this. And by the way, why James Harden isn't all that well liked by, the other players is a lot of this stuff appears to the way that he draws fouls and the way he gets calls. It's pretty accurate, actually, if you want to know the truth. So, I don't think the other players really appreciate him for all that crap that he does. And I don't think it's any argument. I don't think it's
They can all eat it. Stop them then, or you can eat that. You know what?
Well, or you can. You can act like a man on the basketball
court. Cry and complain.
Okay.
No, sit and cry and complain.
That's it. Well,
complain and cry, or you can stop it. Which one?
It's kind of funny. So Duke loses again last night without Zion. Now, and this morning I'm hearing, or I guess last night, was it Paul Pierce last night that said, you know what? Maybe LeBron needs to shut it down. Maybe the Lakers need to shut LeBron down. You're not going to win anything.
I told you the greatest lie ever told is LeBron and Adam Silver making you guys believe he actually cares about making the playoffs this year. Miss Zion. The playoffs, win the lottery, draft Zion Williamson.
Yeah, well, if the Lakers get it, if they do, holy crap. Now, it'll be either the Knicks or the Lakers. Which one does the league need to placate? Which one needs it more? Probably
the Knicks.
I hope
he goes to Phoenix.
Probably. Yeah, no, he ain't going to Phoenix. That ain't happening.
Why not? It's just lottery balls.
There is no chance that he goes to Phoenix.
It's just ping pong balls. Why not?
And then, by the way, that's one team that probably does take R.J. Barrett instead of him. They've already got Zion Williamson.
Man, how do you pass on Zion Williams? But R.J. Barrett's really talented.
Yeah, I mean that's one team that probably goes, you know what? We got that already. We don't need another one of those. And look what it's doing for us. Not much. We need some guys that can shoot. That's what we need. But this whole thing about now Zion needs to shut it down. Why would you keep on playing? And listen, I'm all for the player. You know what? If you feel like, you were talking yesterday about guys that were said shut it down and how the NFL in their interviews, how they view them, how they look, you know, how the questions that they give them, right. and you know what? Oh, do you really, love it? Then why didn't you play in your bowl game? You know, I mean, but now I don't know. I guess this. I don't know where it started, but nobody wants to play anymore.
I would shut down my last year of my contract before second contract. Do you really want to get hurt first contract before you go into second contract in the NBA or NFL? You shut it down. You don't play, and you protect yourself because you're looking out for yourself. What? Wait, what?
See,
you're paid to play.
That's it.
College, and this is all this is irrelevant because this is a personal choice. And Zion Williamson said, "I'm a basketball player. I want to play basketball. I couldn't not do that and let everyone down, and I want to play." Then that should be it. People need to get off of him and stop telling him what to do. If he wants to play and if he wants to do that, that's fine. Barkley had a great quote when Charles said, "Where did we get to a place where we were like, we're basketball players? When did we get to a place where we were like trying not to play? If you love the game, you want to play." Like, you know, right now in college, you still have that love where you're – It's not a business yet. It's not a grind where you want to run to the gym. You're so excited to play. And Zion is still in that love affair phase. And it will go away eventually, and it will become a grind. And like for most NBA players, that's and NFL and baseball. One thing I've learned over the years, it's disappointing at first, and then as you get older, you realize, you understand, it's a grind for them. And not as many guys have the true love affair as you think. And I heard Chris Paul say that. He once said one of the most disappointing things he ever found out was how many people in the NBA didn't love it like he did, didn't like love ball. But they're good and they make a bunch of money, and so they play. But it's not; it doesn't eat them up. It doesn't consume them. I think it consumes LeBron. It consumes Jordan. It's consumed a lot of the great ones. But from a percentage standpoint, not as high a percentage as you think. Zion right now, college basketball players, man, you got kids your age cheering for you. It's crazy. It's packed. You're the star. This is your first time at a young age of being in an atmosphere like that. This is your love affair. Like, this is like, wow, this is so much fun. Zion's probably having the time of his life. And it's probably strange to him to hear people who he trusts and he respects and adores from a basketball standpoint, or maybe he watched them on TV or played video games, you know, with their player, tell him he needs to stop playing or shut it down, when he's probably thinking, I don't want to stop playing basketball. This is a lot of fun. So he is going to play. And, you know, that should be taken into account too. If a guy wants to compete, then shut the up and let the guy compete and play.
Whoa.
I self-dumped.
I know, but
it's not like
kids.
I said coochie. I didn't say coochie.
With the kids.
You just did. Stop saying it.
What the hell? Huh? I mean, why in the what?
I didn't say
the
anything.
The kids are on their way to school.
You did say something.
I said that word, but I didn't say any other. I self-dumped myself. I didn't say anything. I left it blank.
Again with the C word. Again.
I left it blank.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not the bad one.
It's bad enough.
Dell thinks so.
Not bad at all. It's
Dell
not bad enough.
It is.
Dell has decided this
you
is
should
a
go,
dumpable
go
word.
Go talk to someone and see if that word.
Go talk to AJ.
Go
AJ
ahead.
AJ thinks it's fine.
Oh, did you? No.
Okay.
You didn't.
What if I say coochie weed?
That's not a thing. Stop saying it.
But
stop.
I can say that.
No, you can't, because you just crowbarred that word in. There's no
well,
such
D,
thing.
There's a D weed. Why can't there be a C weed?
Yeah.
It's seaweed.
But don't people are going to think it's the other C. It's not the other
it's
C.
It's not the other C.
Yeah.
It's coochie coochie coo.
Yeah.
Coochie coochie coo.
But do you agree with me about Zion? Like,
yes. No.
I
what happened to – listen – I played Division III football. You know what? We didn't get anything. You know, we just had to go. We went out because we wanted to play football. There was no – and oh, by the way, LeBron, you get paid $30 million a year. Why would we talk about shutting it down? It's you get paid to play.
Well, that's Paul Pierce saying LeBron
hasn't
said that.
I know.
That doesn't even make sense. And same thing with Porzingis. You know what made me so irritated last year? When Porzingis said he was just too tired.
He's tired.
He was tired.
He had to take games off because he was tired.
Okay, you don't know that he went to Men's T Clinic or anything like that. You don't have any idea what
he
was
just
going
said,
on
no,
with his
he
body.
No, he said that his body just gets...
shaming Porzingis.
His body gets too tired. Then you know what? If you're gonna play and like, I can't play back-to-backs, dude, you're like 23. If you can't play back-to-backs, then let's see what percentage of the games you play. Oh, what, 60? Okay, we're going to pay you 75% of a max deal then when you come up, because you're not going to play. Why should we be paying you for games you're not even going to play?
Right.
Who's this we? Well, you can say about the Knicks. Knicks pocketbook.
Well, now,
yeah.
me and the Mavericks.
He or loves, the Mavericks now.
He loves James Dolan.
I live in the state of Texas, and we have. About I don't what want the Mavs state income tax. Him. Yeah, here's the problem. What if we start getting state income taxes now to help pay off
because
the Mavericks?
Because a private
dumb debt?
Business has to pay their employee. You think that's going
to
make?
We
us-
had to. I'm sorry. Do you not see that roof on Reliant? Yeah, we had to put that up there.
Why?
I mean, on NRG.
No. We didn't need that roof action.
No.
Yeah, and guess what? We had to pay for it with bonds and all that
stuff. We just
needed
to cover the whole thing because we're never opening it.
Did the state of Texas have to pay for that, or did the city of Houston have to pay for that?
City of Houston.
All right, then. He's in Dallas.
I have
never seen it rain
here. Don't worry about it.
You don't need to open it up. It rains every day here. You never need to open it. So why did we pay for all that? But yeah, I'll tell you this. You don't have to pay for extra for a sunroof, not at Gulf Coast Chevy.
No, you do not. Well, I can't really say that necessarily. You may have to pay extra for the sunroof. You can find out. You can see all the amenities. Go to Lance Z Cars. That's where you can check out the vehicles. There's a classic car show going on March 23rd. And for information, you can go to LanceZCars.com. There's a Best in Show and a People's Choice Awards. Those are both $500 prizes. Whether you have a car that you want to enter, you can go there and register. Or whether you just want to come out and check it out, it's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's going to be really cool. I think I'm going to take my sons out there. I'm not into classic car stuff, but my kids are. And my oldest son, Drake, is really into it. So I need to make sure that he gets out to Angleton for that on March 23rd. But, you know, here's the thing. When you go to LanceZCars.com, you can find whether or not the vehicle has a sunroof. You can find out exactly what's going on in the interior and exterior. It's not just stock photos. It's photos of the actual vehicle. And they spend time doing that. There's over 311 vehicles in stock right now. And I want to focus for a second on those of you who love your pickup trucks. The Chevy Silverado and the GMC Sierra pickup trucks, no matter what type of quad cab, extended cab, whatever you're doing there with your pickup truck, if you want to add a grill, if you want to add, you know, spray in bed liners, they can take care of all of that for you. That's not a problem. The main thing is that you're going to a company that can give you better deals on your trade-in and that will offer lower prices right up front. And, of course, whatever the dealer incentives are, they're going to have that for you as well. But the people at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, starting with Craig DeSerf, are what make the difference. It's why you drive a few extra minutes to Angleton, because you're going to save a few extra $1,000 at Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, and GMC. Just go to the website to check out their entire inventory at LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and Chevy fan. Silverado, Tahoe, Traverse, or Chevy Cruze, your new vehicle is waiting at Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. It's a pretty good question here. USA Today Sports asked that Charles Curtis asked this question. Is James Harden really the best NBA scorer, not of all time, even of this generation? And he looks at four guys. Steph Curry, he's averaging 23.5 points per game for his career. One of the greatest jump shooters of all time. He led the NBA in scoring in 15-16, pouring in 28.4. Cons, I mean, his driving to the hoop, but it's, I mean, he does score driving to the hoop. Kevin Durant, as of Tuesday, he's fourth all-time in points per game, 27.15, which is .01 ahead of LeBron James. Can score from anywhere on the floor, deadly from every spot, four scoring titles. James Harden, the season ended today, second straight scoring title, 36.3, seventh most in NBA history. Another guy who can score from anywhere and the best at drawing fouls. That's a skill whether you like it or not. The con would be whether or not the others on this list would score that much if they were in the Rockets' ISO-heavy offense. And then there's LeBron James. He's only won one scoring title, but he's been as consistent as anybody. 27.1 points per game, fifth all-time. His playoff scoring numbers, astounding. 28.9 points per game career, six playoff runs of 30 points per game or more. Not who would you take, but who's the best scorer out of these? This guy leans towards Durant.
I think it's Durant or Harden.
Although LeBron is fifth all-time in points per game.
Yeah, that's great. I don't feel like he's as well-rounded a scorer.
They're both at 27. Do you know what James' career scoring average is?
What?
24.
Now take away the Oklahoma City start when he was on the bench. What is he as a Rocket? That's what I care about, when he was the guy. Since they've been the guy since they came on the team.
Yeah, 26, 25. It's more. It's obviously more. Now it's up to 36, 30, 29, yeah. 29.
So that's why that to me is that's irrelevant, because he started as a sixth man. They started as the main dudes.
Yeah. I don't know about that ISO thing either, because LeBron has the ball plenty.
He has it a ton.
He's the point forward.
It's not Steph to me. Steph is a great shooter. And Steph is a very good scorer. I just wouldn't put him in the same category. Although he is a pretty decent finisher.
Yeah.
James has added a teardrop to his repertoire, which I think is pretty – it's not really talked about enough nationally, I don't think. I've seen it talked about locally with Rockets fans. You know, that's a new thing this year, where he's added the little mid-range teardrop, the floater, that – I say mid-range. I mean, in the paint at the dotted line. But it's a very effective shot for him. And the same way Dream used to add elements to his game, it's nice to see Harden add a scoring element to his game. But he can finish with dunks. He can finish with finesse. He can finish through contact. I have no doubt that he could play mid-range. They just don't ask him to, because James's game is built for mid-range. He shoots a high percentage of free throws, and he makes a high percentage of free throws. He shoots from the perimeter with success. He can play up-tempo. And we've seen him be able to crowd guys in the post. He's just not asked to do that. So, to me, I don't really see flaws in him. The one area for Durant where he's had issues is when he's posted people up in the past, because you think, look, he's going to size mismatch most guys. He doesn't like, and it's a leverage thing. He's so tall at 6'11", and smaller players can get up under him and push him off of his spot and then play up under his chin, and he doesn't typically like that much. Well, that's the only area that I could pick at with him.
Yeah, I mean, he's got stick arms. So, I mean, he's not the strongest dude. We know that.
But he likes
to face the basket more than even down low. He likes to face the basket.
James is strong. LeBron is strong. Right. And you got two stick arm guys.
Right. So, okay. Now, I agree with you. I think maybe, I guess, I don't know. I think maybe KD is a better scorer, I guess. It's so close with him and he and James.
What do you give it to? Why do you give it to KD?
Because I've seen him score at will in the biggest moments. I mean, it just, to me, it breaks down to that. I mean, the ability to win games late in pressure situations in the postseason. I mean,
but is that scoring? I mean, you're talking about winning games in pressure situations.
Yes.
I feel like you're choosing the player now, not the scorer.
Well, ability to score, though, I don't know how. I mean, he does average fourth most all time, so he can score.
Does the fact that all three of them are better shooters in terms of percentages, what does that play? What type of part does that play in it? Like, KD is nearly a 50% shooter over his career, and he's a perimeter guy. Steph is higher than James at about 48%, and James hovers about 4, particularly with the Rockets, because he's had to do more and maybe take worse shots. He's at right around 44% or so for his career. Does the fact that, I know scoring entails free throw shooting, and certainly James is great at that, but the fact that these guys are better scorers from the field than James?
Well, I think, okay, so that's like saying batting average, when most baseball, the hardcore, most general managers would tell you batting average is not a very good measure of anything. I would tell you that probably basketball analytics people would tell you that points per possession
is going to be way more impactful than field goal, basic field goal percentage, because it takes into account true field goal percentage, which is the 3 plus the 2. And then, you know, obviously your free throws don't count as a field goal attempt when you get fouled, but it does count as a point per possession. So I would say points per possession and efficiency rating and true field goal percentage would be what they would look at ahead of just standard field goal percentage. And I don't know the answer. I mean, I don't have the numbers on those. All those guys are really good scorers. You know, it's funny that we don't think about LeBron as a scorer.
Oh, he's a scorer.
He's a bull in a china shop. But he does. I mean, he does have a variety of ways that he can score on you. That's a definition of being a scorer.
Not a great outside shooter, though. But he's that body type. He's just going to go and bull you over. And if he wants to score, he's going to score.
That's one of the reasons I say James, because he combines. Look, KD's a better shooter. I mean, Steph will go down as maybe in the conversation, and maybe number one is the greatest shooter ever. But Kevin Durant is a really good perimeter shooter as
not
well.
Only, even his not only perimeter, how about his mid-range game?
Yeah, he's fantastic. Yeah. And he developed a mid-range game, and that's not what James does, because he's not asked to do that. He plays in a system that is going to count him for long shots, but a lot of times his close shots are going to be fouls and they don't count as field goal attempts. So I think it's going to artificially lower some of his field goal percentage numbers. But one of the reasons I say it's James, because he's got strength like LeBron, but he's got the ability to heat up from the perimeter as well. Not to the same extent as the Warriors guys, but he can shoot it from three, and he is a phenomenal free throw shooter. He's a free throw creator, and then he's got the strength that LeBron has to, you know, physically bull his way in. Well, which
you're talking
is the difference.
You're talking about perimeter shooting. Now, LeBron doesn't take the same amount of threes that James does, because, no one does. But
ever in history.
Yeah, but over the last two seasons, not including this one because it isn't done yet, LeBron has been a better three-point shooter than James. LeBron's at about 36-point-whatever percent over the last couple of years. James is a little bit under that. So LeBron doesn't take as many, because who does? But he has certainly improved his shot from that range over the last couple of seasons.
But that's why any arguments against Zion, that's why somebody, a Dream Shake, I think it was, Zion, I would never take him. Well, okay, Dream Shake, if it wasn't you, then my apologies, but I think it was you that said he can't shoot. You know what? LeBron couldn't shoot when he came.
Michael couldn't shoot.
Michael couldn't shoot. These guys get better because guess what they do? Yeah. They go practice. There is such a thing as improvement, and I don't care what Zion shoots now, because if he wants to be a better three-point shooter, he will be a better three-point shooter. Yeah. Magic Johnson got a lot better. Jason Kidd got a lot better. It's not unusual to get better shooting threes.
Yep. Four titles that, Kevin. I'm going to go with Kevin Durant. He does have four scoring titles. He's been an unbelievable scorer. I'm going to go with him number one, James number two, then probably LeBron, and then Steph. Now, which order would you like to have him on your team? That is a different conversation.
That's a harder one.
I don't know. I think that's a little bit easier. I think LeBron.
LeBron won.
Yeah, LeBron's won. And KD would be two.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I see him winning. Yeah.
With the Warriors?
How
much did he win with Oklahoma City?
Well, he
got to the finals.
He got to the finals.
Oh, are we having a finals parade now, John? We having finals parades?
No.
We having losing in the finals parades down 3-1?
He got to the Eastern.
You mean Choke City?
He got to the Western Conference and then went seven games with the Warriors.
Multiple Western Conference finals before the
Warriors. Choke City 3-1?
Yeah. He's the winner.
We're not going to talk about 3-1? Are we having a 3-1 parade?
Well, we're comparing him to...
He's won.
Well, I get your point, Lance. I don't mind taking shots at John, but but we are comparing him to maybe what we consider the ultimate choker in the NBA right now, in James. So if we want to talk about Harden, I mean Durant as a choker, as you put it, there's not much ground to stand on if your other option is James Harden.
Hold on, let me ask you a question. Are you trying to change the hashtag from unguardable tour to ultimate choker?
Well, that's the playoff hashtag. Tour.
All right, let's. We got some calls here. Guys want to talk about this, the scoring as well. But first, we've got to talk about your insurance.
TGS can help you with that. So another W for TGS is they found Scott in downtown a $700 discount with insurance, homeowners insurance. What they do is they search their algorithm of providers, and they find you the very best rates for your homeowners insurance. And it's important that you get the same coverage you have now, if not better. So that's mandatory. I mean, that's going to be the case. They can find a firm quote for you within a matter inside of a minute. And I know it sounds impossible, but that's how they have their computer set up to search for those rates that quickly. And what they do for you is they aggregate all these different sites and they find the best rates for you. And all they need is your address. So if you text money, because that's what you're going to save, if you text money to 232323 right now, it'll text you back, say, what's your address? You'll send your address in. And within just a few seconds, you're going to get a firm quote. Compare that to what you're paying now. And if you want to move forward, you can get back with them through that feature and you can start to get your homeowner's insurance locked in. I did this and Raheel did this. We both did this. Within an hour, we had our insurances changed. They handle all the paperwork. They handle all the heavy lifting. You can DocuSign right there on, you know, digitally on your computer, so you don't have to get any papers to print out and scan and blah, blah, blah. And they handle everything with not just your homeowner's insurance, but also if you want your car insurance. So make sure you text money to 232323 and let TGS save money for you.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John, Lance, and Dell. At 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. I put that in there now, Dell. Is it Abu we got here? Abu wants to talk about scoring and those guys, that conversation that we just had. Abu, what's up?
Yeah, hey, guys. So I think the one thing that you guys didn't necessarily mention was in the scoring conversation was the career highs, as well as, like, volume scores, like crazy volume scores for all these guys, outliers. I think, like, Durant has only had, like, four games where he scored 50 or more, and I think his career high is, like, 54. And I think all the other guys have scored more than that in the 50s, in the 60s, and that sort of stuff. As well as, like, James Harden had, like, a graphic that went around NBA Twitter a while ago where it was showing his career highs versus all the other teams in the NBA. And it was pretty ridiculous, honestly, because he scored 30-plus on everybody else, and you know, a lot of teams were in the 40s and the 50s. So I think that's one conversation that would lead me to believe that I would lean towards Harden. But in terms of kind of like who would I want to start a team around, I think Harden would probably go to maybe even fourth on that list, which is kind of weird to say just because of the defensive aspect and the type of basketball that he plays.
And I would... Abu, appreciate it. I would go the other way with that. James has such drastic highs that there have to, and if he's only averaging 24 points a game, if Durant doesn't score, put crazy numbers up, and still averages 27.1, which is fourth all time in NBA history, that means how that's a level of consistency night in, night out. While he doesn't put up crazy numbers, he constantly puts up numbers. So I would say it's the other way. I would say that I would give that lean to Durant then.
Yeah, but if we're talking scoring, we want people who can go off too. A true mark of a scorer is a guy who can go off for monster games. And I think that has to be accounted for too. I mean, scorers can go for monster games. We've seen guys who can hit a monster game. If you do it multiple times, that's a tremendous feat, because I remember an Eddie, was it Eddie? No, who was the point guard that the, I'm just going to screw this up. I better just stop. It was the Sonics had some point guard who out of nowhere just put together a 50-point game, you know, it's some random outlier of a game, and then they just kind of disappear. James has done this so many times that that's like a four hit. It's like getting four hits in a game. If a guy does it, if a guy's a consistent hitter, that's great. But the guys who, like, oh, if you get four hits in a game, you know, 50 times in your career, 60 times, that's a big deal, too.
Yeah, but I think just the opposite. That means that James had those, if he's averaging less points, it means that he threw in a bunch of stinkers, too.
But because he's not averaging less points. He's averaging a ton.
He's averaging to, he's again, his career average is 24.
I don't, but throw away the sixth man stuff. Put him in the same apples to apples category with Kevin Durant. When Kevin Durant was the dude from the beginning, put James with the Rockets. That's what he was. And then compare their scoring. And James is right there with Durant as a scorer.
Okay, I'm going to look up just with the Rockets what his career.
It'll give his Rockets only at Basketball Reference.
They'll give his Rockets only?
Yeah, it'll just be – they split it up from teams at the very bottom. And you can see what he does with the Rockets. But it's impossible that he's not averaging the same as Kevin Durant. He's going to have his second scoring title.
But even so, I don't know how much more it's going to be, but it better be a bunch more. Otherwise, that means that he's got tremendous highs, but he's also got lows. As opposed to Kevin Durant, who doesn't get those outrageous highs and still is averaging 27 a game. To me, I'd rather have a consistent guy that I know I'm going to get 27 a night from as opposed to 60 or 12.
I don't think you're going to find many 12s for James, honestly.
Well, if he's only average, again, if he's only averaging around, when he does put up 60, then the flip side has to be true. If he's only going to average 27, 28 points a game, he's going to have stinkers too.
It feels like you're making arbitration arguments. Like you're arguing against a guy who's a tremendous scorer.
No, it's so close. I give it, but barely I give it to Durant. But no, James
yeah,
is
I think they're one and one A.
It's your
flavor of score. It's what you consider a score to be that will ultimately determine that. And if there's no personal bias. Because I think with James, personal bias for everyone always leaks in. And it's just the way it is. I mean, I can't explain it, but it's a real thing. We've all seen it. And there's a level of personal bias against James that I don't think most people have had for other players in the league.
Yeah. No, that it is true. I mean, he's not like Kevin Durant is all that likable, but James is not. He's just not that likable.
Kevin Durant was very well liked until when he bolted to Golden State, things changed.
Well, and that and his.
But that happened to the burner account.
And now
stuff
he
happened
seems
after
like
Golden
he's butthurt
State.
About everything.
Yes, everything.
Everything. Yeah, I mean, that certainly plays into it. Yeah, don't break it down just Houston versus OKC, but we'll try to figure it out.
It's at the bottom of his stats. In that his total stats, seven seasons with Houston, he's at 28.8 points per game. Kevin Durant's actually, I put in quotes, hurt by going to Golden State. His numbers have gone down by a point, but overall, he's a 27.2 game. Per game scoring, as Lance mentioned, he's been the guy since the beginning, and so James is averaging 1.6 more in his Houston tenure compared to Durant's entire tenure. So it's not a large difference, and the one thing would be that particularly at Golden State, there are multiple scores. There are two other high guys you could depend on to score, as opposed to James in Houston. There hasn't been a guy until Chris Paul got there. So James has been a guy by himself for pretty much most of his time as being a superstar.
Yeah.
And are you holding that against him?
No,
or
I'm just pointing out.
I'm
just pointing it out as I'm not even saying negative or positive. I'm pointing out as context for the numbers.
Because I think some people would try to say that, oh, well, then that makes it easier for him. And, of course, you can just look at volume of shots. The other argument would be that's a lot harder when you don't have other – because the focus of defenses can be shifted and shaded toward you. You can't do that at Golden State. You can't shade Kevin Durant. You can't shade anybody. They always have two killers on the court
at all times. No, I'm just pointing out how the numbers could be affected one way or the other. I'm not thinking negative or positive. It's just how it's played out over their careers.
Yeah, but how do you think it plays? Like that's I'm curious what – How you
I don't
that.
Think it's a negative that James does what he does. It's been nailed into the ground. It's been buried at this point, the storyline about he has to do this to keep the Rockets afloat, and we'll see how it changes with the guys back. I don't see it as a negative. That's just the lot he's given. If James doesn't score and shoot a lot, his teams don't have a chance of winning. That's been the storyline almost his entire tenure here, and it changed a little bit last year with Chris Paul. Certainly, that's just what it is. I don't think it's easier for him. I think attention is drawn to him, and it's probably a little bit more difficult to get buckets. Now, I'm not sure James minds it. I think it plays his skill set that everything flows through him. I don't know what he'd be like coming off screens or playing off the ball. We haven't seen that. I won't say he can't do it. I just say we haven't seen it.
And to your point, Lance, the effective field goal percentage, which takes into account the three-point shot, James is 52.3, Durant 58. In Golden State, 58.
Yeah, that's really good. What was he in Oak City? Was it
Oak City was 51.7. Okay. He's 53 overall.
You know what that shows you?
And James is 50 overall. It's 52 overall.
The effects of being with two historically great shooters makes it a lot easier to get your shots in positions where you're most effective, which for him, it's baseline. That baseline three on the side, he can hit it from anywhere, but that's, I know, where he's incredibly effective. James never gets to shoot from that area. He's the primary handler.
Yeah.
So he has to take the longer three. But that goes to show you, when it was crazy, Russ is 51. When he shoots with the Splash Brothers, way higher.
Yep. All right, 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here, we'll get off of that. We got some other stuff to talk about here on ESPN 97.5, so we'll do that on the other side. Right now, though, I want to talk about Jeff Aronoff and Absolute Marble and Granite. Absolute Marble and Granite is your place to improve your home and you got or your business, and you got to put money into it, folks. And I know it's a permanent thing. If you're renting, if you're leasing your business, and you're thinking, well, I don't know how much money I want to put. You have to improve your business. You have to make it so it's presentable with your countertops. I don't know if it's your bar top at your bar or restaurant. Your countertops, they have to be nice. Otherwise, people are going to go, wow, what a crappy place this is. Not sure I want to eat here. Yes, you got it. It's got to be nice. And in your home as well, if your countertops are not what they should be, then you need to replace them. If you want to sell your home, we sold ours not too long ago, just a few years ago. And boy, you want to talk about they look at everything, and countertops is one of them. If they're not up to snuff, if they're not up to grade, you're not getting as much for your home. You have to make improvements to your home with outdoor patios, with outdoor kitchens, with whatever. If you need new vanities and to sell your home, you need nice vanities. You call Jeff Aronoff, 713-880-2822. Absolute Marble and Granite, 713-880-2822. Tell them you heard it right here.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 849-713-780-3776. ESPN asked an interesting question. Would you rather have a team of 25 home run, every position has hits 25 home runs, or a goal, every position is a gold glove? And there is...
Separate baseball Twitter from... Everybody else, baseball Twitter says, gold glove, definitely. No.
Well,
no. Home run Twitter, thank you.
It's interesting. They have, and oh, by the way, you can have a good and a bad 25 home run team and a good and a bad gold glove team. But one thing about this, I want to tell you something. If you didn't see Matt Chapman play last year for the A's, you know, all of this talk about Alex Bregman, and we love Alex Bregman, and it's not even close who ESPN and a lot of baseball people think was the best third baseman last year in baseball, it's Matt Chapman. And even with Nolan Arenado just signed a freaking $260 million deal, which man, I, you know what? I'm telling you, I love that. That before he gets the free agency, I'm sure, yeah, you had to give him stupid money. But Nolan Arenado is a really good third baseman, and he's going to be there for the long haul, and he's probably going to be really good. And, oh, by the way, he plays in Colorado where you get more hits and all that stuff. But they put out, okay, you can have a good and a bad 25 home run team. Guess who's on there on the bad side? A bad 25 home run guy. Evan Gattis. And I could certainly see that. Wins against replacement, he's a .4, as opposed, they've got Yasmani Grandal as their catcher with 24 homers. He's a 3.3, a wins against replacement guy. That's really good, 3.3. But, you know, they're like Kyle Schwarber is on the bad list. You don't want to be on the bad list. They got Gleyber Torres on the bad list, as opposed to Ozzie Albies. But Ozzie Albies is an up and comer, just going to be probably going to be a superstar. But yeah, you can have Lance. While you would say you probably picked 25 home run guys by what you just said.
Defense, yeah, that's how you know how Gold Gloves. That's how Giovanni Meyer gets drafted. That's how Tim Bogar gets priority. Like, we got to keep a Tim Bogar here.
Yeah, right.
Good glove. That's how Brad Ausmus, the pitch framer, gets a lifetime contract.
Well, they've got, though, good and bad Gold Glove teams as well. But here's the thing. Matt Chapman is on both good lists. He's on the not naughty, he's on the nice list for 25 home run guy, which he hit 24, but they're saying he's a 25 home run guy. And a Gold Glove, he's on that list as well. Matt Chapman. So that's a guy that's a name that everybody needs to watch. If you're a baseball fan, you need to know Matt Chapman. He is a really now, and I got to sit up close right behind the on deck circle, and I want to tell you those A's, because they came in here and they wrecked shop some. That's a team that is, you know, Seattle did as well, but Seattle gave away their whole team. You got to watch this A's team. They're good, young. What the job that they have done there with no money and in that stadium, that granted they haven't won. They've been up and down with wins, but to be where they are with everything up against without payroll, and you know, just losing. They've always lost every player that they've ever had, from Miguel Tejada to Carlos Beltran to all of the guys that they bring up. They just can't hold on to them because they can't pay them. And Matt Chapman might be another one of those guys. But you really, and we you know, we laud Jeff Luneau for what he's done, and he's been able to win the title, and they haven't been able to do that in Oakland. But to be just what they're up against, you got to have a ton of respect for what they have done and Billy Beane has established there. You really do.
Yeah, I do. I have so much respect for the way that small market teams are able to build and then have to rebuild and have to rebuild. It's like, you know, it's like the, it's like pushing a stone up the hill. I mean, you know, you're never going to get there. You know, it's never going to be what you want it to be, or plugging the leaks in the dike to be able to, you know, stop the flooding. They're always going to have those issues. It's never going to change for small market teams in baseball. And that's one of the reasons why we've come to just assume that's going to be the case, and they have minor league systems that make them competitive for a stretch, and then once it comes down to pay guys, it's over. It's one of the reasons I don't want to see basketball ever get to that. The super team thing concerns me because I never want to see basketball get to that. Football benefits because any team in any market can win. Basketball, you want the same thing to be the case. You don't want it to get to where only teams in Chicago, New York, L.A., or favorable weather destination teams or marketing destination teams can win, and the other teams have to give away all their top players. Like, that's really brutal what's going on in New Orleans with Anthony Davis. I feel like they never even had a chance to keep him.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this. You know, all you need is to get one Giannis, because, look, Milwaukee can't be a worse destination. Of all of the destinations, I don't know that there's a worse destination in all of sports than Milwaukee. And for Anthony Davis to have Milwaukee on his list of teams that he would go to is that's the biggest that Milwaukee was on that list was the biggest upset ever in sports. That somebody would want to go there as a free agent.
It's real, or is that something that just had to be?
No, I do because of Giannis. I mean, I could certainly say, well, we can win there, and that would change all. That's exactly what you're talking about there. That Milwaukee can be up there and maybe is the best team in basketball this year, is unbelievable. And so you got to really applaud what they're doing in Milwaukee, and it's because they've made good decisions. They've made solid basketball decisions.
I think they got a guy who didn't come in tied to the AAU scene and a lot of players who were younger players from the beginning, and Giannis. I think that helps with the fact that they can maybe keep him there. Back to your baseball point, though, that's why it is so – that's one of the reasons analytics came to be, as we know it, formerly known as sabermetrics, and it is still sabermetrics and the Moneyball principles. It's because that's the way that they survive. That's the way they have to survive, is they have to find better value, better ways to put a roster together. They bargain hunt. I mean, they have to, and that's why it's so impressive, is they've adapted and found ways to survive in places like Oakland.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely, and yeah, it makes it all that much more unbelievable what they're doing right now in Milwaukee. And they really have a chance. Raheel can talk about that on the other side as
Let's
well.
Let's fade out and just listen to the Kills here.
Okay, we'll fade out listening to the Kills.
The Yeah Yeah Yeahs, but whatever.
The what?
It's the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. I don't know who the Kills are.
Okay. I don't know.
That's
what
not the that, Kills?
I don't know what any of that means.
No. Who are the Kills?
Sounds like Led Zeppelin.
Johnny Kill.
No.
Was born in Nebraska.
It's the Yeah Yeah Yeahs.
Grew up on the farms.
Heads will roll, Lance.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.